is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The elections in the Americas, always critical. The most recent election has turned everyone's attention to Brazil. Lula da Silva is a very popular figure in Brazil, has been traveling the world speaking of peace. But a present election within days is in Paraguay. Paraguay is a country of 7.5 million people that, because of geography, punches above its weight. Once upon a time known as part of the tri-border region, Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. But now the election before us offers some contrast between the old ways and the new ways, and then surprising ways. Fortunately, I have Professor Evan Ellis for the New World Report. Professor is Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Professor, a very good day to you. The election in Paraguay is imminent, and you tell me once upon a time Paraguay was dominated by the Colorado Party. Still might be, but there are several choices here. And this is first past the post, no runoff. You also remind me that the lower chamber deputies and the Senate deputies and the governors will all be voted. So this is a very large event. What are the distinct differences between the Colorado Party and the opposition? And then we'll take the candidates one at a time. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. Well, first of all, thank you for bringing up the subject of Paraguay, because it's often overlooked, but right at the center of South America. And it's important to emphasize that this election, although it's very likely that the Colorado Party candidate, Santiago Peña, will win, but the strategic importance of Paraguay is often overlooked in terms of not only its geographic role and the role that Paraguay plays in the illicit flows of marijuana and cocaine and other things, but also its potential value as a logistics corridor and for part of South America, and frankly, as well as the fact that Paraguay is the last nation in South America that recognizes Taiwan. You still have a handful in Central America and in the Caribbean, but the possibility that a future president of Paraguay could flip again would put South America off the map and probably embolden the PRC in other ways. Also, in terms of security collaboration and political collaboration, although Paraguay is not always visibly active in the region, it does have a lot of influence in terms of what can happen with its neighbors. So given the importance of Paraguay, what you have is an interesting situation right now in which, again, the Colorado Party, which really came out of the longstanding dictatorship of Alfredo Stroessner. And again, the current president is actually a Colorado, Horacio Cartes. Marito Abdo Benitez. However, his rival within the Colorado Party, Horacio Cartes, the person who's now the Colorado candidate, Santiago Peña, is in many ways the rival of the current Colorado president. But again, Peña is at about 43% in the vote right now. There is a broad kind of coalition of the center and left that's rallied around an opponent, Efraim Alegre, who was for a while neck and neck with Peña. However, there is a third candidate, a kind of idiosyncratic, populist candidate by the name of Paraguay, Payo Cubas, who in attacking the corruption in the country and attacking just the sense of complacency and lack of movement and difficulty in many of the frustrations that Paraguayans have. He has surged in the polls in about the past 2 weeks. And so the fact that he's up to about 16% has largely taken that support away from the left of center Alegre. So it looks like Peña could win if things go that way. But at the end of the day, the interesting thing is that if Peña wins, if the Colorados come back into power, the U.S. also has a relational challenge, because while it will continue basically a center-right government, it is a very different political leader. And also the head of the Colorado Party, that Horacio Cartes, has been named for significant corruption by the United States. And so the United States has a delicate balancing act in terms of the head of the party whose candidate has just been elected president, and keeping that good relation in a country that is really critical for any number of different types of cooperation within South America.
I want to understand what the Colorado Party represents, because this word corruption comes up in every state that we talk about. Corruption in the Central America and all the states, corruption in Colombia, corruption in Brazil. What does it mean, Professor? Because there's some feel to this that this is business as usual. If you have statism and you have longstanding ruling occupations and you have access to government, that means that in terms of nationalism or nationalizing or not nationalizing, the money continues to flow into what we call the upper class, what they call the elite. Is that what corruption represents, that the rich people stay rich and the poor people stay poor? Is that what it means?
Fundamentally, yes, John. And also the people in power tend to stay in power, and the people out of power have a very hard time getting into power. In Paraguay, you find corruption at virtually all levels, from the lowest levels to, government procurement, to politics. And I think there's a sense of frustration among the Paraguayan people, with respect to that. And again, it's a sense that the system, is really kind of rigged in terms of the judicial system, the political system, public benefits, is really kind of rigged against those who are down, and really rigged in favor of those who are up. And again, without suggesting that the Colorados are the only, corrupt political movement, because you have corruption in all parts in Paraguay. What's basically happened is that the Colorado Party has become a bit of a club in Paraguay. Again, you have different wings within the Colorados, as I'd mentioned before, the Moritos wing is as well as the Cartes wing, which is actually called Honor Colorado. But in addition to that, you have, again, just you have various types of illicit activity that touch upon the government. Again, Paraguay is the major supplier of marijuana, coming especially from the northeast of the country, into Brazil and a variety of different places for all of South America. It's also a major cocaine trafficking hub, especially through the dry border area that goes into Brazil, places like Pedro Juan Caballero. And so you have a lot of illicit money. You have a lot of different activities. Even, for example, the previous president, Horacio Cartes, that I've mentioned before, the U.S. claim against him is based on, among other things, that, he runs a basically illicit money contraband cigarette business, as well as other things like ties to Mexico's Sinaloa cartel and maybe even ties to groups like the Hezbollah. So it's at all levels in all types of corruption connected to illicit activities across the region, but also connected to kind of the rigging of the system and privilege within the country itself.
And what to make of this long-standing mystery of a tri-border region? What does that mean when they say it here in the 21st century? Yes, there are three borders. Yes, you can walk from one to the other to the other. But there's some threat always when I hear the word tri-border.
What's actually interesting, because it really has a lot to do with Brazil, in the fact that Brazil borders so many different neighboring states, all of the neighboring states in Latin America, but two. And so what happens is in many different places, you have these tri-borders, basically Brazil plus two other states that bump into each other. So in the case of Paraguay, its tri-border got a little bit more notoriety than many of the others. But there are a lot of tri-borders with similar characteristics of, it's a place where you can move easily between countries. There's a lack of state presence. You have high levels of crime and illicit activity. But famously, going back to about the 90s, but especially in the 2000s, when we started looking at the global war on terror, the area between Ciudad del Este, Paraguay, Foz, there's a beautiful waterfall area in Brazil, and then on the Argentine side as well. That tri-border area also became the nexus where you had a lot of contraband traffic, contraband guns, contraband electronics. For a time, it was taking advantage of different tax regimens, but a lot of smuggling in the area. And it turned out also that you had some activities by Hezbollah in other groups that were operating in that area between Ciudad del Este and Foz, especially, and sending some of their money back to the Middle East, where it was used to finance terrorism. So for those who are familiar with the Star Wars movies and Mos Eisley, where everything goes, the Ciudad del Este and the tri-border area in Paraguay kind of became famous for being that kind of lawless middle land with limited state presence. Although there has been a lot of attention by authorities, by Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay, and frankly, the U.S. put there. And so, one of the jokes is it may be the, most watched group of Hezbollah Muslim radicals in all of the Americas there in the TBA.
Professor Avenelis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, previewing the election in Paraguay within days on Sunday, the last day of April. However, as the professor mentions, the narco-terrorism and Hezbollah all go together when it comes to South America. And there is unfinished business from May of 2022, the assassination of a prosecutor from Paraguay, assassinated on his honeymoon in Colombia. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.